General Richard Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, joins us now from the Pentagon. General Myers, for 3 days, we've had reports of looting, now arson in Baghdad, murder and mayhem elsewhere in the country. First, how do you describe the obligations of U.S. forces to Iraqi citizens now? And I'd like to know if you agree with this statement from the International Committee of the Red Cross. The coalition forces, they say, have specific responsibilities as occupying powers, and those include taking all measures to restore and maintain public order and safety. Agreed?
Well, the first thing I'd say, Robert, is that hostilities are not over in Iraq yet. We're still in the war phase of this, and any obligations that are incurred by occupying powers, so-called occupying powers, are after hostilities end. So we're in a phase now where we're still conducting combat against those elements of the regime that still exist. And from the reporters in Baghdad, you know that's very real combat. We're losing folks all the time, either to wounds or some killed. And then as we can, we have civil affairs people tucked in to all these combat units that start working the kind of problems you described. And we've been doing that.
Secretary Rumsfeld today at the Pentagon was very dismissive of newspaper headlines screaming anarchy, lawlessness. Do you share that view, or is what you're hearing from the troops that there is anarchy and lawlessness throughout Iraq right now?
Well, the situation is we have a country where there is war, and you're certainly going to have those kind of situations where there is localized problems. But let me give you an example. And what I said today, and as part of that news conference, if you take a look at the south, take a look at the second largest city in Basra. There, the looting has subsided. Civilian disturbances are still occurring, but the UK is patrolling the city. Water's available to 60% to 80% of the city. Supplies of water are adequate, according to the ICRC and UNICEF. Electricity is restored throughout the city. Food supplies remain adequate. And medical facilities, most importantly, I guess, are functioning at pre-war levels. That's in the south. Now, you couldn't have said that a week ago. The week ago, the report, or 5 days ago, would have been a lot like Baghdad is today. But so this will be worked by folks that are in there as you work the problems that are confronting you. Obviously, I heard your interview with the Marines there bringing medicine to one of the clinics. And so as they can, it's quite amazing to me that American forces can, on the one hand, be ready for intense combat, on the other hand, be worried about getting medical supplies to a small clinic in Baghdad.
But part of the price of that seems to be not being worried about looting and arson right now in Baghdad. That's simply not a high enough priority right now, is what you're saying.
Well, I think you work it as you can, and you do have to take things in priority order. First of all, I'll just remind you again and your listeners that hostilities have not ended, and not in Baghdad, certainly not further north. As they do, you will take on other tasks. But
looking ahead to some of those tasks, James Dobbins, who worked on reconstruction in Afghanistan and served in Kosovo and Bosnia, Haiti, and Somalia, was on this program yesterday. And when he was asked how big a force would be needed to rebuild Iraq and protect the people of post-war Iraq from one another, he said, and I quote, "On a per capita basis, the force necessary to do in Iraq what we're doing in Kosovo would be 500,000. Could there be that many U.S. or allied military personnel in Iraq?
Well, first of all, using templates from other experiences and then flopping them over onto the Iraq situation probably wouldn't give you even a very good idea of what is required. The situation in Kosovo, quite a bit different than the situation in Iraq.
Well, how many people would be needed, perhaps, in Iraq?
Well, we're working through that right now, and situation changes every day as we look at the Basra situation. You know, in the last week, it's really dramatic how the situation there has changed. It's fairly stable. What I didn't mention when I talked about Basra before, they're looking at the police force, trying to vet those that weren't Ba'athist loyalist, and using those police officers to now do what they do. In the port of Umm Qasr, a lot of Iraqis are now running not only the city but the port. So, you know, it's every situation is going to be a little bit different, it'll change over time. So we're working on all that.
But which is the more rational expectation, that in the post-war Iraq, months from now, there will be more or fewer U.S. military personnel in Iraq than there are today?
Well, we're going to have to take a look at that. My guess, I'm not going to, I just don't make predictions because there are too many unknowns out there. But it's one of the issues. And in fact, we've been working this for months on terms of the forces required, the types of forces required, how many people in the international community want to contribute to this. All those sorts of things are being worked on a real-time basis so we can have the right number. I can guarantee you one thing. We'll have the right number there to take care of the issues, whatever the issues are.
Back to the fighting that is going on. What can you tell us about the fighting that's the subject of a story in the New York Times today in Qaim on the Syrian border, where they say that Green Berets and British commandos have been fighting for 3 weeks with the Iraqi Special Republican Guard?
Right. The city of Al-Qaim, I think, was defended by about a battalion or roughly 1,000 commandos. There has been a very small British and U.S. special forces on the other side. One of the things we wanted to make sure we did there was get into a couple of what we call sensitive sites. And we're into both of those that we wanted to get into now. One was the water treatment plant. One was the phosphate plant. And we were looking for things like Scud launchers, those sorts of things where they could, as in Desert Storm, they could use those that location to fire missiles, surface-to-surface missiles into Jordan or Israel.
Did you find anything?
No, we didn't find anything. And the latest reports are that the population inside the city is turning and that the persistence of the defenders is wearing down and their enthusiasm is waning. And I would think in the next 48 hours or so that we'll probably see that city capitulate.
Well, General Myers, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Robert.
General Richard Myers, who is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, spoke to us from his office at the Pentagon.